A journalist was going to interview a very successful entrepreneur about the reason for his success. And the man began, "Well, my wife and I, when we got married, we had one nickel to our name. I took that nickel and I bought an apple. I shined it up and I sold that apple for 10 cents. And then I went and bought two apples. And I shined them up and I sold them for 20 cents. And then I went and bought four apples." And the journalist is thinking, what a great human interest story. And he asked, well, what happened next? And the man said, well, my father-in-law died and he left us $50 million. Why is it that we like those human interest, tell me your story stories? Well, it's because you and I are wired to be inspired. We are bombarded in our world with so much news and propaganda that is just so depressing to our mind and so diminishing to our spirit. So where do you go to get lifted up in a broken down world? Well, the writer of Hebrews answers that question for us in Hebrews chapter 10. Read along with me. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. Where can you go to get lifted up in a broken down world? The Hebrew writer says, you can go to church. You can gather and worship among the people that have been cleansed and washed by the blood of Christ. The church is the place where always is heard an encouraging word. At least it ought to be. The Duke of Wellington, the man who conquered Napoleon at Waterloo, was known as a brilliant but demanding man. And late in his life, a young woman asked him if he could do it over, what is one thing that he would do differently? And he said, I would give more praise. Believers are praise givers. Or to put it another way, we are consistent, we are intentional, and we are aggressive encouragers. The one thing that we are asked to do more than anything else in all of Scripture is this: encourage one another. When the people of God gather, the people who have been washed by the blood of the Lamb, the people that can go into the presence of God, when we get together, we stand firm by giving an encouraging word. Now, that word, encourage, is found 109 times in your New Testament. You'd think that somebody's trying to make a point. Now, the word encourage literally means to come alongside. And it's used to describe all those things that you do and say that inspires and builds up other believers. So to encourage is to share an intentional expression to help somebody grow up in their walk with Jesus. And that idea is all over the Bible. In Acts chapter 14, the Apostle Paul, it says of him, they preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples, and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. You can go to our book, 1 Thessalonians. Look at what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 2 in our text. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into the kingdom of glory. Later in the same book, this is what Charity read. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. By the way, in the Bible, Spirit-led encouragement isn't just giving somebody a compliment. Oh, your hair looks nice today. It can have actually an edge to it, the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 3. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And so when we are together and we talk and we see someone down a path that may not be right or healthy, we don't just say, oh, that's none of my business. We speak to that and we speak into that. We are constantly exhorting and warning and urging people in their walk with Jesus. Because we know that the word, this world, I should say, is full of discouraging words. You hear them all the time. I heard a story of a Navy frogman who said to his brand new wife, I don't think that your mama likes me. And she said, why would you say that? He said, well, I was explaining that when I'm diving under the water, I don't wear my wedding ring because barracudas like shiny objects and I could end up losing my finger. And your mom said, well, why don't you just wear it on a chain around your neck then? I don't have to tell you that our world is full of discouraging words. One of the chief purposes of this assembly, of the Christian assembly, is mutual encouragement. To come, to worship, to get up and leave, and never speak to anyone or ask how someone is doing in Christ. To never say anything that would help anybody is not why this moment is important. Because you can go worship God in your closet. You can come together here to encourage. So what will encourage encouraging? Three ideas. And here's the first. We stand firm by saying no to self-absorption. Because we know that our flesh gravitates to it's all about me in its perspective. But that doesn't inspire anyone. We are inspired by stories where somebody put we ahead of me. I want you to look at this picture up on the screen. This is Manteo Mitchell. This was a picture that was taken during the London Olympics back in 2012, and he was running the first leg of the 4x400, and he's racing in the preliminaries. He's 200 meters into a 400-meter race, and he hears a pop. His leg broke. Not a crack, not a fracture. His leg broke. And he has 200 meters to go. The amazing thing is, this is the prelims. So if they make the finals, he's not even going to be on the team. He's running to help somebody else win the medal. Now, you think he doesn't have a reason to stop and think about me. But he knows if he doesn't finish and finish strong, then his team isn't going to run the next day. So he said, all I thought was faith, focus, finish, faith, focus, finish. And he ran 400 meters, 200 of them, on a broken leg. And he ran it in 46 seconds so that his team could run the next day. Encouragers realize, I'm not the only one in this race. And so all throughout our New Testament, the word encourage is used of people who think we instead of me. Philemon verse 7 says, your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Now, let me lay something on you that I think is worth thinking about. I don't think the devil cares if you ever become wicked, as long as you become indifferent. In C.S. Lewis' classic book, Screwtape Letters, if you have not read that, you need to read that. That's an important work. But in that book, you have this senior demon named Screwtape who is discipling a junior demon named Wormwood. And there's this great line in there. Screwtape says to the junior demon Wormwood, I will see to it that there are always bad people. Your job, my dear Wormwood, is to provide me with people that just don't care. Now, if you're going to be an encourager, you are going to have to make a decision. Does Jesus have a clue? Does Jesus know what he's talking about when he said that the key to self-fulfillment is self-denial? And you have to decide whether or not that's right. You have to make up your mind. In fact, you have to make up your mind every single day. You have got to stand firm by saying no to self-absorption to be an encourager. But also, I would say that we stand firm by saying no to individualism. And that is very hard for us Americans. Because our country, and it's a wonderful country, but let's be honest, we have made a virtue of independence. And independence is not a virtue in the kingdom of God. We hear songs, we hear people say this all the time. All I need is God. It's not only unbiblical, it's undoable. Because God's word says, you can't love him if you can't love them. If you're not anothering somebody else, you're not loving him. I know that your walk with God is personal. It was never meant to be private. We are in this together. Look at what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak. Be patient with everyone. And here's why. the church, I could say our church, is full of people who are not everything God wants them to be. And they're not going to get there without help. Nobody becomes all they can be in Christ by themselves. You need somebody else to help you get there. I want to illustrate that with this video. Take a second, watch this video.
Hi, Jimmy.
Hi.
What are you doing? Huh?
I'm just getting my tools out.
And how are you going to do that?
Doing the rocket.
You're going to fire a rocket off?
Yeah.
And the rocket's tied to your tooth?
Yeah.
All right. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Okay. You got to push that button really hard till that lights up. And then when it lights up, you have to push that one. Okay, you ready? Go.
You can find that video on YouTube in a couple of different ways. You can search for a boy who needs a dad to become a man. Or you can search for why a mom cannot leave her kids alone with her husband in charge. Now, whether that was wise or not, does that young man ever have the courage to do that without someone else with him? See, here's the point. Every single significant thing that you have done in the kingdom of God, you can look back on and say, if it wasn't for them, it wouldn't have ever have happened. Back in 2012, when I put a message on our church's sign, and our church was protested, and my life was literally threatened many times, I stood in the face of that because I had somebody like Richard McMichael that came up and said, I'm standing right here with you. When I did my radio show, I interviewed a pastor from the state of Oregon who actually put a message on his church sign. And it stirred up his community. I figured that's worth interviewing. I know something about that. But that poor man actually stepped down from his church because there wasn't a single person in his church that stood up and said, I'm standing with you, Pastor. You see, it matters, friends. You can't do this following Jesus thing alone. I can practice faith in isolation. I can practice hope in my closet. But I cannot practice love without a family. You can be an introvert. Now, that's not me, but that is my wife. You can be an introvert and still be an encourager. You try to tell me anybody in this church who has a greater heart for kids in this church than my wife does. You can be an introvert. You just can't be a loner. Encouragers encourage community. And encouragers come to community in order to encourage. You stand firm by saying no to individualism. And finally, We stand firm by saying no to cheap grace. Remember that Hebrew passage, we read it at the beginning. It said that it is through the blood of Jesus that we are able to enter into the presence of God. You and I, we have been made holy by his loving sacrifice. And what he is saying in that text is that encouraging is a way that we respond to this incredibly encouraging gospel. We behave the way we behave because we believe what it is we believe. And we believe grace is free, but we do not believe that grace is cheap. Grace does more than just forgive us our sins. Grace forms a new kind of people. Look at how 24, verse 24 in Hebrews 10 reads from the Living Bible. In response to all he has done for us, let us outdo each other in being helpful and kind to each other and in doing good. I read about a 71-year-old man named Michael Nicholson. He had just received his 29th college degree. He lives in Kalamazoo, Michigan. So what did he do? He started working on degree number 30. And one of his own professors admitted that Michael has no intention of doing things with all that he is learning except going to school some more. Michael doesn't want responsibility. He just wants to study. And I am concerned here in the West that we have created this way of following Jesus where all we do is promote opportunities to study. We go to conferences, we'll sit in Bible studies, but at what point does the gospel become not just something you study, but something that literally transforms the way you actually live? Grace affirms the worth and the dignity of every single human being, and the gospel isn't going to let me give up on anybody. And it calls me to try to build up everybody. It is one of an encourager's highest privileges. Because of what Jesus has done for me, I now get to partner with Jesus in building up the people that he died for. A family moved to a new school district, and the mom was very, very concerned about her shy little boy going to this new school. There was a school play, and everyone was excited about trying out for the school play, and she just prayed all day, "Oh, Lord, please don't let my boy be disappointed. Don't let him get turned down for everything." And when he came home from school, he was so excited, and he came in the front door jumping up and down, "Mama, Mama, guess what? I was chosen to clap and cheer." We have all been chosen for the privilege of cheering for the body of Christ. And you know what? It's not just that you have been employed by Jesus. You have been empowered by Jesus. You have been prompted and filled by another encourager. You see, the disciple, a disciple does to others what Jesus has done to him. And what is it that Jesus has done? John 14, this is Jesus praying, and he says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." And that word counselor is literally the word encourager. He has given us the ultimate encourager, the ultimate come alongside her, to live in us. Why? To encourage us. And to encourage us to encourage somebody else. So Jesus says, you're going to be in some tough situations as my witness. You're going to wonder, what do I have to say? I want you to go anyway. My encourager will give you the words to speak. And based on that very promise, for over 32 years now, I have found myself regularly walking into situations where I had no idea what to say, but I knew that the Holy Encourager would give me the right words at the right time. And you know what's really cool? The serendipity of it is that as you step out in faith to encourage people, you're going to find yourself being more encouraged than by what you're giving. There's a verse out of Colossians that I sometimes try to write my own name in on. Colossians chapter 4, verse 8 says this: I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. And that him, that was Tychicus, who Paul was sending. And I want to be that guy. I want to be the man that God can trust to send for the express purpose that I'm going to go and encourage somebody else's heart. And I want you to make yourself available to God like that. Would you do me a favor? Would you stand up? I want us to bow our heads. And this is what I want you to pray right now. I want you to pray, Lord, I'm available this week to be sent to encourage. You can trust me with such an honor. So pray that right now. Take a moment. Pray that to the Lord. Father God, you are hearing our hearts this morning. People are wanting to be a part of an army of encouragement this week. And I thank you, Jesus, for opening a way. You washed our hearts. You washed our souls. And even now talking to you, the very privilege of talking to you, the Holy of Holies, is because of your work. And we want to do more than just study the Bible. We want to live it out. And we want to step into the gospel. And so that means that we are available right now, this week, to encourage one another. Help us, God, to stand firm in you in this way. In Jesus' name, amen.